Well, this morning we'll be continuing in the book of Matthew. Oh, before we dismiss, I guess maybe Tina already left out here with the children. Okay, if you'd like to have children's church out there, they'll be out there. So if you'd like to stay in here, whichever works best for you. But we will be continuing our book of Matthew as we did last week, Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. Last week we talked about fear of the unknown and how obeying God can sometimes lead to rough sailing. Because even life's scariest scenarios can serve a higher purpose in the kingdom of God. Our God specializes in impossible situations, and many times he leads us to them instead of always wanting to deliver us from them. So how we can watch with our own eyes how faith overcomes fear. I mean, we all feel afraid from time to time. That's natural. Now, this week, I know Christian probably was afraid. He had to have a procedure done on his shoulder for a lymph node. I know Mama was afraid with her baby being in the hospital, being operated on. But thank God all turned out well. Praise to his name. Amen. So we all feel afraid from time to time when things like that come up unexpectedly. But today I want to talk about how to keep moving forward in your faith, even when fear tries to shut you down. And as mentioned last Sunday, there's a lot to be afraid of today. And yet, while there's still a lot of things that can create fear, there's a lot of things that can cause fear. God does not want us to be owned by fear. He doesn't want to walk around being an afraid child of his. So before we continue, I'd like to kind of review some principles that we covered last Sunday in dealing with fear of the unknown. To recap a little of last Sunday, verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14, it states that Jesus made his disciples go into the boat and get ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there all alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the winds were contrary. And so as we learned last week, like I said earlier, obeying God can sometimes lead to rough sailing. And the first thing we looked at is to know that when life makes you fearful, which these disciples absolutely were, that if you have committed yourself to Jesus Christ, and to the best of your knowledge, you are operating in his will for your life, then that situation that is making you fearful, just know that Jesus put you in it. The second principle we looked at is when you're in a scary situation, we looked that Jesus is praying for you and for me. It says in verse 23 that he went up to the mountain by himself to pray, and he was there alone. And we also looked at when Jesus told Peter he was praying for him on another occasion, that Jesus was praying that Peter's faith would not fail. Because whenever you've been terrorized by something, it's easy for your faith and for my faith to fail. We also learn that when Jesus, he does see us struggle. He saw the disciples struggling out on the water, and God sees your struggle as well. He has not forgot you. He sees your fear. He sees those waves of life coming whenever they're just beating at you and you don't know if you can make it or not. And you're scared to death. But Jesus is praying for you and for me that our faith will not fail. The third principle we looked at is that Jesus will also come to you. Verse 25, it's in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And Jesus knew they were there, and now he's praying for them now. But now he begins to walk on the water to them, which was their problem to begin with. In other words, Jesus allows fearful situations in our lives so that he can come to us in a way that he has never come to us before. Look at the next verse. It says, and when the disciples saw Jesus, he walked along the sea, and they were terrified. They said, it's a ghost, and they cried out with fear. See, the problem is they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize that that was Jesus. Why? Because they weren't looking for it. They'd never seen Jesus walk on water. All that they were trying to do was trying to get out of the mess that they were in, trying to hang on for dear life on that boat. And we've talked about that last Sunday, and so here is where we pick up where we left off in our passage last Sunday, verse 28 of Matthew chapter 14. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we gather here in your sanctuary of your safety, we thank you for fellowship and we thank you for family. We ask that you will strengthen us. We ask that you would restore us and inspire us with your love. We ask of you, Father, to please fill us with your peace, to rest us from all anxieties, so that as we journey onwards, that we would be able to pour out your love and your grace to others around us. We ask today that our souls would catch the wind of your Spirit to give us a refreshing time, so that we would take your promises to all around us. In your name we pray, amen. Well, before we begin our worship in the Word this morning, join me in shouting, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. You know, it's always good to use your breath to praise our Lord, because we know that sometimes fear can steal your breath away sometimes. Amen. And a lot of times use that fear and turn it into panic. Have you ever had a panic attack? You get short of breath and you just kind of, they're not fun. So let's look at verse 28 to see what our Word says this morning. We see our man Peter standing up in the boat, and he says to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. You know, there's some things that I'd like to see, as well as I'm sure there is for you, whenever you get to heaven, that I'd kind of like to see God do an instant replay on. I mean, I'd love to see him a replay on parting of the Red Sea. I think that would be really neat, to see how that happened. Or maybe even the burning bush, how a bush is just able to stay there on fire without being consumed. And that's another thing I'd kind of like to see. There's a lot of things that we read about in his Word that I'd love to see. And so there's some things, and I'm sure that you'd want to see them as well. But one of them I'd like to see is Jesus walking on the water. I'd love to see a replay on that. So Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water. Now the question is, why would he make that kind of request? Why would he say that, if it's you, Jesus, tell me so that I can come to you on the same problem that you're coming to me on? You see, because it's the storm, and Jesus is coming and he's walking on those circumstances, and everybody's terrified about those circumstances. And so Peter is saying, Jesus, you're walking on the circumstances that we're fearful of. Can I come walk on them too? Can I join you by not being overcome by it, but by standing on top of it? Can I come join you, Jesus? Let me tell you two things that Peter's saying here. Number one, he's saying, Jesus, I'd rather be out there with you than with my boys in here. I'd rather be out there with you. I see it's risky out there, but I'd rather be out there with you than with my homeboys here, because they're about to have a heart attack. They're panicking. They're hollering. They're making lots of noise. They're hanging on for dear life. But number two, the main thing Peter is saying is that he's saying, I want more. I want to experience more of you, Jesus, than I've ever experienced before. And if you tell me to come, then I'm willing to take that step of faith and experience something that I never thought that would be possible for me to do so. Because, Jesus, I am enjoying you so much. I am enjoying my walk with you, our journeys with you, the miracles that we see, and what you're already doing. You see, Peter, he just didn't want to be satisfied to stay in the boat. He didn't want to be just satisfied just to be delivered from the storm and for Jesus to take care of the problem right there in front of him so he wouldn't be scared anymore. But he said, Jesus, before you fix this problem, let me join you. Let me walk on it. Jesus, before you fix it, I want to see what it feels like to be on top of the situation instead of always having to walk underneath these situations in life. You see, you and me, we're praying one prayer to God most of the time, and that's, get me out of it. I'm scared. I don't want to have to deal with this thing. Deliver me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Get me out of this. But what Peter's saying, before you get me out of it, his prayer wasn't just, Jesus, get me out of it. He's saying, show me what it feels like to walk on top of it. Show me what it feels like to walk on top of the problem, to stand on top of the fear, to stand on top of the confusion, to stand on top of the terror that's terrifying us, and not just to stand on top of it, but to be able to walk on it. Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you on the water. That's what Peter asked, and Jesus said, okay. Okay, Peter, come. And so verse 29 in our text says, Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. That had to be an experience of a lifetime. Peter was able to join Jesus on top of the problem. And guess where Jesus wants you and me to join him? On top of it. But, everybody say but. Seeing the wind. Wait a minute now. Wasn't this the same wind that Peter was looking at before he got out of the boat? The wind hasn't changed. It's still blowing furiously. Nothing has changed yet. But seeing the wind, he became, here we go, frightened, fearful. Peter's scared, and he's beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Save me, Lord. What happened to, you see, what happened to him is what happens to us a lot of times. We're okay as long as we're looking at Jesus. But the moment that those circumstances remind us of just how bad things are, with thoughts of, you're not going to get out of this time. You've done it now, mister. You're going to drown. You're going down one, two, and you know what happens on the third time. The moment that the circumstances take over, fear takes over. It says that he became frightened. Why? Because Peter lost his focus. He lost his focus on Jesus. And in the fact that he was now walking on the water with Jesus. And now Peter is looking at the circumstances around him. And what happened? What does the scripture tell us? That he began to sink. So in other words, get this. When you change your focus, you change your stability. I'm going to say that one more time. When you change your focus, you change your stability. Because when his focus was right, Peter was on top of the problem. But when his focus changes, now the problem is sucking him under and he's beginning to sink. And when Peter noticed that he was beginning to sink, then he cried out. He didn't wait until he was chin up to the water and started gurgling, but he cried out. As soon as he saw his heels go down in the water, and the water was coming up now to his ankles and maybe up to his knees, as soon as he saw that happening, he says, I'm not going to wait any longer. Help. Help, Jesus, save me. And I know this is hard for some of us. Especially guys, we don't want to realize that we're sinking. We want to try to fix it ourselves. But don't wait till the water's up to your chin and you're gurgling before you cry out to Jesus. Peter saw that was happening and he cried out to Jesus. And what happened? Jesus immediately reached down, and look what Jesus said. Jesus reached down and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" There's a whole lot of lesson here in that, what he said to Peter. Jesus didn't say, "You have no faith." He said, "You of little faith." Because you see, Peter had enough faith to get out of the boat. And you see, the disciples had no faith because they're not going anywhere. They're still hanging on for dear life inside the boat. Because you see, faith involves movement. You can tell me all day long, "I want to get out of debt," but if you don't start honoring God, then it's just going to be talk. That's not faith. Because faith demands movement. And he had little faith because the faith had lifted up his foot and carried him out of the boat. So he had enough faith to do that. But the reason why it was little is because he used it to get started, but he didn't keep going. See, little faith is when you start trusting in him, when you start trusting in Christ. There's a beginning point for your faith. But then when you allow circumstances to cause you to stop trusting him, that's what happens. And the reason we know we stop trusting him is because you stop walking with Jesus. You stop walking in your relationship with Christ. Jesus talked about that and even gave a parable of it on the parable of the sower. You stop moving because you don't see that there's any way out for you to get out of this problem or circumstance that you're in. You just see that this thing is so scary that if I keep going, I know I'm going to drown. Not believing that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He not only wants us just to get started, but he wants us to keep moving in our faith. He wants you and I to complete the task. He wants you and I to finish what we start. And so he says in verse 31, "Why did you doubt?" Peter, why did you doubt? What made Peter doubt? Well, it's the same thing that makes us doubt. The circumstances. You see, there were negative circumstances there, and yet they were in the will of God, as we talked about last week. They were in the perfect will of God, but there were negative circumstances around them. And so now he's responding to Jesus. Peter cries out to our Lord. And to appreciate this, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus says that they had not learned the lesson of the loaves and the fish. That's the story that precedes this story. What's the lesson about the loaves and the fish? What does sardines and crackers have to do with me being stuck out here on the lake with the wind and the waves just smashing and battering against me? Because Jesus said that they didn't learn their lesson. Well, what was the lesson? Well, for one, the loaves and the fishes were an impossible situation. In Mark chapter 6, verse 21, it says, "Now how am I going to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children? How am I going to feed approximately 20,000 people? Even if we were able to find some food in the villages around us, they certainly wouldn't have enough for 20,000 people. We're just now we just have two fish and barley loaves." Doesn't make sense. It can't happen. This was an impossible situation. But the Bible says Jesus stood up in this impossible situation with not nearly enough to meet his need and gave thanks. He gave thanks for not enough. How many of you all do that? Many times we curse God for not enough. We quit coming to church because of not enough. Do you thank God for not enough? Jesus gave thanks for not enough. And what happened? Now suddenly, it's like Moby Dick the whale has landed on the beach, and now they have more than enough food. The Bible said that they had 12 basketfuls left over. And then so they saw God, watch this, they saw God do the impossible with the food bank So they saw them do that. It was an amazing miracle, if not one of the greatest Jesus performed while he was here on earth. And then it says immediately, right after that, he sent them out across the sea. Why do you think he sent them out so quick after this miracle instead of sitting back and saying, well, boys, how'd you like that one? Pretty good, huh? No, he said he sent them across the sea. He sent them out quick. He sent them out quickly because he wanted to see, I heard you say amen. I heard you say praise the Lord. I heard you say thank you, Jesus. I heard you say God's been good. God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. And I heard you affirm that. And I showed you what I could do. Now I want to see if you've really learned the lesson. Or were you just talking? So I'm going to put you in a fearful situation that looks like there's no way out. And I'm going to see whether or not you believe this stuff that you're praising the Father about. Well, they didn't learn the lesson. They didn't learn that God specializes in impossible situations and even leads us to them so that we can watch with our own eyes how our faith can just overcome the fear in our lives. Because when Peter got in the boat, when Peter and Jesus got into the boat, verse 32 says, the wind stopped. And so that makes me respect Peter a lot in this story because he, even though his faith was weak, he was at least willing to meet Jesus in the storm when none of the other disciples were. He didn't say, Jesus, can you fix this problem? Can you take care of the storm? It's really... No, he moved forward to Jesus. And that's why it's important for us to move forward in our faith. Jesus talked about this as well. He said, no man's worthy who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back. We need to keep moving forward. On the Australian coat of arms, there's a picture of an emu and a kangaroo. These animals were chosen because they share a characteristic that appealed to the Australian forefathers. Because both the emu and the kangaroo, they can only move forward. They can't move backward. Because the emu's three-toed foot causes it to fall even if it tries to go backwards. And the kangaroo can't go backwards because of its enormous size of tail, its large tail, it prevents it from going backwards. And the same goes true for those who truly decide to follow Jesus to become like the emu and the kangaroo, to only move forward and never back. So we have to admire Peter in this story for that forward momentum he had instead of shrinking back. John says in John chapter 6 that when they welcomed Jesus into the boat, they had reached the place or the land where they were going to. And they said, truly, you are the Son of God. Better yet, they got their praise going on because they just saw another fantastic miracle Jesus did. And it just opened up their eyes to that this guy really is the Son of God. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 34, he says this, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. See, that's why it's so important for us to be able to come to church as a family so that we can lift up his name together. Then he goes on to say in Psalms 34, verse 6, he says, this poor man cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all of his fears. It basically said, my fears looked up to him, and all of a sudden, those fears became radiant. See, fears are darkness. But he said, when my fears saw Jesus, those fears began to smile. You know, Jesus isn't just somebody we sing about or hear stories about. This is the Son of God, and he can change anything, an impossible situation, into something that makes us smile. It's like a parent that comes into the bedroom when a child's scared of a storm outside. There's lightning, there's thunder, and the parent shows up while the child's scared in the dark of the bedroom, and he grabs the child, and the storm's still out there, but now the fears have looked to the parent, and the child no longer has those fears. And so the child can fall asleep. I'm sure many of you have experienced this. So what's this tell us? We need to tell our fears what to do. Oh, Eric, who talks to their fears? Well, if you have faith, if you want your faith to grow, you will. Sometimes you need to speak things out loud so the enemy hears you. Because the enemy can't read your mind. He can only gauge your reactions on how you react to things. But when you verbally say something, he hears it. You need to say, fear, instead of talking to me, I want you to talk to him. Tell him how scared you are. Tell him how insecure you are. And yes, guys, you are. I know you are. You try to hide it, try to look man. I don't care what big of a man card you have. We still have fears, and we still have insecurities. And you say, fears, talk to Jesus. And those fears will become radiant. You know what Jesus wants you to do? He wants you to discover, like the disciples did, that he truly, truly is the Son of God. He wants you to discover that he is bigger than you ever thought he was. Even when you're in a scary situation, he wants you to see something that you've never have before about him. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Acts, Stephen was being stoned to death. And the Bible says Saul, before he was a Christian, oversaw that stoning of Stephen. And they put Stephen in a little pit area, and the Pharisees began throwing them at Stephen. Now, that's a fearful situation, would you agree? When you're being stoned to death? But the Bible said that as soon as those stones started flying at Stephen, Stephen looked up. And when he looked up, he saw heaven open up. And he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, the Scripture says that when Jesus left this planet, he went to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. But now he sees Stephen, and in respect for his faith, Jesus stands up. So now Stephen can look at the people who's stoning him, and instead of cursing them, I mean, I don't know if you've ever got hit by a rock, but when you do, there's not pleasant words that come out of a lot of people's mouth. I don't care who you are. So instead of him being plummeted by these rocks, he was able to say, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Where do you get that from? Well, because Jesus was showing up in another way to Stephen than he had never saw before. Even when he was in a fearful situation, even if it's at the point of death, Jesus will show up to you in a way that you have never seen him before. How is he going to show up for your fears? Or my fears? I don't know. It's different for every one of us. But I do know this, that he does know where you are. And he is praying for you. And he will come to you. And he's going to help you move forward and to grow through this situation so that you can get your praise going on. And why would our praise be going on? Because we have saw him in a way that we have never seen him before. There was a little blind girl who was up in an apartment complex, and the apartment complex had caught fire, and she could feel those flames getting nearer and nearer to her, and she could feel her way to the window because, being blind, she knew her way around the apartment. But she was many stories up, and the window was open, and the firemen were down below saying, jump! Jump! But she was scared. She was terrified. And now the flames are coming closer and closer to her, but she can't see anything down below because she's blind. All she hears is, jump. Jump, young lady. Jump. You've got to jump now. But all she could say is, I'm scared. I'm scared. No, you've got to jump now. You don't understand. And she kept responding with her voice quivering, saying, I'm scared. I can't see. It's dark, because before too long, those flames would engulf her. But in the midst of that fear, she heard a voice. A voice rang out saying, darling, baby, it's okay, jump. Go ahead and jump. And so she leapt out of the window and was caught by her father below. And that's what he wants to do in our lives. You see, there's a lot of well-intentioned people in our lives that say, jump. You got to jump. Now's the time. If you don't do it, you're going to get flamed up. You're going to get caught up in what you're doing. And that's what she was hearing. There was no security in that. But when she heard her daddy's voice, when she heard her daddy's voice say, jump, what she was able to hear in her daddy's voice when he said that was, she understood that this voice to say, honey, I know you can't see, and I know you're scared, but go ahead and jump, because daddy's got you. Go ahead and jump. And so I don't know today what's causing you anxiety or fear in your life. But I know the Father does do this. He says, walk by faith and jump. Because your Heavenly Father knows where you're at. And He's going to catch you in His arms. May God give you the peace in your turbulent times. Fear will keep you moving forward. Please join me in prayer. Father, I thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but instead of power and love and of a sound mind. Thank you that our fear is not our portion, but merely a deception of the enemy of our souls. Help us to trust you more. Help us to prepare and wait on you for that harvest of peace that you give us in our lives, that you desire for us to have in our lives. And reveal to us the lies that we believed and how to counter them with your truth. For you know that when the enemy is just given a small space, he pushes the door wide open and brings with him fear and anxiety and worry. But we're thankful that no circumstance that ever confronts us ever takes you by surprise. And I thank you that your promise to work things all good together in our lives is your desire for us. And so thank you, Father, for repeatedly proving yourself faithful. And that we can rest in the knowledge that you will supply all of our needs in your perfect timing, according to your perfect plan for our lives. For we choose to trust you rather than to become anxious. For you, Father, are in control. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, amen. Thank you.